Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Sweeney will bring a message titled, Flee, Fight, Follow, Lay Up, from Scriptures, found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. This is Jeff Van Meekeren inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. David said in the Psalms, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I like that. I was glad when they said, let us. It's about us coming to church. You know, God does not spend the night here on Saturday night, Sunday night, Friday night, etc. We bring His presence here. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, two or more gathered in His name, and He's amongst us. So glad for the presence of the Lord this morning. So glad for each and every one of you. Want to welcome especially the Tacoma family. It's a special day this morning after the preaching and going downstairs. It's just good to see each and every one of you this morning. And let's everybody grab a hymnal and turn to number 43, and let us stand.
Bring forth the royal diadem.
Heavenly Father, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. All glory and honor belong unto you this morning, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for what Jesus did for us at Calvary, Lord. And on the third day he arose, Lord, and he ascended and sitteth on your right hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you for salvation this morning. Thank you for every individual here this morning. Holy Spirit, move amongst us. We pray for against every hindrance that would come against this service, Lord. Move amongst us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There are things as we travel this earth, shifting sands that transcend all the reasons of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in. That the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old. That this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But for faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me to last through my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe it ever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old. That old rugged cross.
not just suddenly taking over. Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Beth, and Paul on the organ. And what a perfect song for the Lenten season and just touching our hearts. And if it wasn't for Calvary, there wouldn't be anything. There'd be no reason to be here. It is a special morning in different ways. Worship is always special, but also as we want to honor Ruth Takema, and I see some of her family is here too. And you know, that musical stuff runs in the family. Both her daughters are also good piano players. And one last summer, I think, Janet played here a number of times, and that was a real blessing. And then many of you know, Tim is Ruth's nephew, and so this gift just carries on. But it's also special that you're able to play this morning, Tim. And we want to invite everybody to come downstairs after the morning service. That's where our time of refreshment will be. There's good cake and there's cookies and time of fellowship, but also to honor Ruth for her gifts and how she has blessed us through them over the years. And so we just appreciate you coming down and celebrating with her family, and all of us as a church family. I just want to give you an update on our church family. And as you got the prayer chain last week, prayer chains, you know there was just a lot going on. And just want to give you these updates. First, Shirley Lohman recovering from her cancer surgical procedure, meeting with her medical team in the near future to see what treatments to pursue. She's here with us this morning, and so we're just thankful for that and continue to keep her and Cal and her family in prayer. And then Betty Holmes, we've been praying for Betty Holmes, and she thought she was going to have back surgery this week, that procedure. But with the lung biopsy showed that there's an infection, and that all has to be cleared up before any other medical procedures can take place. So she has to just really lay low for a whole week and ask. She asked again for prayers and can't thank you enough for your faithfulness in upholding her in prayer. And she is so excited about YouTube because she says, now I even feel like I'm there. And so thank you for blessing her through your prayers. And then Don Winalda spent another day at Metro Hospital. He is back at the Oaks. Judy's also been dealing with some health stuff. And so it's just been a tough week with some of that uncertainty. And then Carl Steininger, he texted me yesterday and he said, I have had a much better week. Be sure to thank all the people at 8th. He's one of our faithful Jethro listeners. He works on Sunday, so he's not able to be here except Christmas and Easter. And he's just so appreciative of your prayers. And he said, I feel so much better. And he's new optimism. And then a number of prayer chain requests went out for Dan Like. And they visit pretty frequently. They often sit right over there, about six rows from the back when they're here, Dan and Sue. And they were down in Myrtle Beach for like 2 months. They were coming home this Tuesday because that was there when the lease was done. And last week, just had a tremendous headache, ends up in the hospital, and ended up at the University Hospital. That was 2.5 hours from where their condo was. He said, headaches like he had never had, and had to do with bleeding on the brain and this kind of stuff. Anyways, when they first did the procedure, it was like a miracle. And they thought, this is tremendous how God has just answered these prayers. And then the next day, he started to have seizures. And so right now, they're just dealing with trying to find the right combination of medication to control or eliminate the seizures. They're hopeful yet that he gets discharged within the next 48 hours. Yesterday was also his birthday, and now part of the family had to go back down to Myrtle Beach to clean up to empty out the condo. So just a lot going on. But again, every text had, thank your congregation for the prayers. We just feel uplifted. And so I want you to know when those prayer chain requests go out, that makes a difference. It's not just for information. It's just to uphold one another in prayer. And then Arlene Wiseman's son, her son Bob, had a nasty fall up at his cottage in north of town. He ended up at Reed City Hospital. Then they transferred him to Butterworth because he fell at home, broke four vertebrae. One was in his neck. The surgery did go well, and it's very promising. And they hope that he gets moved to a regular room. That might have happened last night yet. But he's dealing with a lot of pain, but there is optimism that this looks good. But again, so appreciative of your prayers. Jenny Benedict, who deals with a chronic conditions, has finally felt a little better last Thursday. Since the Saturday before, she said every day was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And Thursday was like a turning the corner, and then wondering how long before I start feeling bad again. But again, very appreciative of the prayers and the prayer chain and how you have upheld her and Ron. Christy Schell, we've prayed for her friend Floyd. He starts radiation treatment for prostate cancer this Tuesday the 2nd. And then we know there's lots of people dealing with colds, flus, all this stuff going around. Other people got appointments scheduled, consultations, all of that stuff. There's just a lot going on all the time. And so grateful that there's a Heavenly Father that we can turn to, because where else would you go with all of this stuff? And then Paul Kramer, you know, Paul Kramer passed away a week ago Wednesday, and arrangements are starting to fall in place, and the funeral will take place right here at 8th Reformed, April the 11th at 11 a.m. And so just want you to know about that and let you know that you're invited. And I think it's a great opportunity for us as a church family, as a church family, to show our support for the Kramers. And then because of the celebration after this service, there's no Sunday school today. Just want everybody to be aware of that. And a quick reminder that next Sunday, April the 6th, is our first hymn sing of the season at 2:30 in the afternoon. And want to be sure that our Jethro people know about that too as they tune in. And for all of you, and invite your friends and neighbors, and it'll be a wonderful afternoon. And so we're just grateful for that opportunity to reach out in that manner. Thank you. Back to you, Pastor.
There's numerous requests, and I know many of you perhaps have different things on your heart that's laying heavy. Let's just take a couple minutes and let's go quietly before God. Bible says, be still and know that I'm God, and let's tell him what's on our heart, and let's share some of these requests with God silently before him, and then I'll go into the morning prayer. Would you bow your heads with me and let us go before God? Heavenly Father, I'm reminded of the lady that was on her hands and knees just coming before you, that if she could only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she knew that if she did, everything would be okay. And we come before your feet this morning, Lord, as the one that stood there anointing your feet, Lord. We lay all these different requests before you, Lord. We know, Jesus, that you sit at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And we know that all things are possible with you. I'm reminded of that one that said to you, bless the Lord, O my soul. And we bless you from deep down, Lord. All praise, all glory, all honor belong unto you, Lord. I'm reminded of when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, Lord, upon the donkey, and different ones were grabbing palm trees, palm leaves, and laying them in front the donkey, crying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And all honor and praise belong unto you, Lord. And we bless you, Lord, from deep down, Lord. And all that is within us, Lord, you commanded us to love God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with all our mind. And we bless your holy name, Lord. And you told us, Lord, forget not all of your benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, many of the things that we've done in our life, many of the things perhaps we do that we shouldn't do, Lord. We know that if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as you also said, you have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as far as the east is from the west, you remember our sins no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I pray for every need that different ones might have this morning. The ones that Pastor mentioned this morning, Lord. The different names that he mentioned, Lord. Minister unto them, Father. Let them feel your presence and your anointing ministering unto them, Father. We know that there's no distance with you. That all things are possible with you this morning, Lord. Father, I pray for our government this morning. I pray for those in authority over us, from the president to vice president to senators, Lord, House of Representatives, governors, mayors, local leaders, Lord. Pray for our pastor this morning and our deacon board, our elder board, Lord. Use them, Father. Guide them in a mighty way. For we know, Lord, that all things are possible with you this morning, Lord. I pray for our military, Lord, that's scattered throughout the world as ones are separated one from another, whether it be aboard a ship or on land, Father, and their families are behind, Lord. Keep your hand upon them, Father. So thankful, Lord, that we live in America, that we can come to church, Lord, and not worry or be concerned about prosecution, persecution, Lord, that you keep your hand upon us, Lord, where we can lead to today, Lord, church, and saying, I was glad to be in the house of the Lord, where I was able to sing and praise you and be ministered to by perhaps a handshake or the word of God that came out. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the oxygen that you give. Thankful that I've got shelter, Lord, from the elements on the outside. Thankful that we're not in a hospital bed this morning, Lord, or at home as a shut-in, Lord. Minister to those shut-ins this morning, Lord. We know that you're able to, Father, and we know that there's no distance with you, Lord. Lord, and I thank you that you're the one that redeems our life from destruction, who satisfies our mouth with good things, Lord. And you execute righteousness and judgment for all the oppressed, Lord. And you've made your ways known unto us, Lord, in different ways. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us life this morning and given it to us more abundantly. Heavenly Father, be with the remainder, Lord, of this service this morning. Meet all of our needs, Lord, according to your riches and glory, Lord. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is 743, Wonderful Peace. Let's everybody stand as we sing that this morning.
Thank you.
want to share this morning out of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Or no, I mean chapter 6. And verse 11 and 12. There's a lot of things that go on before we get to verse 11 and 12. But he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that's been said and done. And now, Lord, I pray that your word would go forth and not return void, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I like, there's four things that jumped out at me here. And what they were flee, fight, follow, and lay hold on eternal life. And I like that word flee and fight, and it tells me that I'm in some type of warfare or some type of battle. And I believe that we are in a battle that's not necessarily flesh and blood, because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a warfare that's going on. And that warfare involves three areas that God's laid upon my heart, and that area is the flesh, the world, and the devil. Sometimes our biggest battle is with the flesh. The thing that gets born again, and I want to go over to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to share a little bit out of Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, and I think it's about verse 16, he'll say to us, Paul says to us, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." He'll tell us to walk in the Spirit. He'll tell us in Galatians chapter 5 to live in the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. And we believe that here at 8th Reform, because every Sunday when Pastor leads us in the Lord's Prayer, we always pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Don't lead the flesh into areas that it shouldn't go. And as I thought about that, what gets born again really is our spirit, right? In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus told them, he says, "Marvel not that I said you must be born again." He said, "But to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again." And Nicodemus said, "Well, how is that possible? How is it possible for me to enter my mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus said, "For flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom, but that which is born of the water and spirit." And Jesus goes on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And Jesus said, "You must be born again." The Spirit's got to be born again. Now in Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Then he goes on to say, "They're contrary one to another, your flesh and your spirit." And as I was thinking about that, to bring it out where we can understand it a little bit better, let me give you just a quick example. This morning, we're getting ready to leave for church. And one of the things I do, my wife was finishing getting ready, and I went in the truck, I opened up the garage, and I started my vehicle. Now, my wife and Aaron didn't come out quick enough. So this voice kept saying to me, lay on the horn. And this other voice said to me, don't do it. So I didn't do it, Doug. But then the voice came back about 30 seconds later, says, lay on that horn. And if she comes out looking angry, just give her a big smile. And my hands started to move. But Paul, I didn't do it. Are you with me? There's that warfare that goes on. And we arrived at church in all smiles, you know, because I didn't do it. But, you know, many times people will go to church and on their way in, they'll be arguing one with another. And they, as soon as they pull up to the door or they come walking in the door, even though they got in a big argument, good morning, right? You've done it. I've done it. Well, no, I don't know if I've done it. But anyways, you know. We battle not. Some of you shaking your head, yeah. You want to share it? But we battle not against flesh and blood. There's a warfare that goes on between your flesh and your spirit. And they're contrary one to another. If that wasn't good enough for you, in Matthew chapter 26, after they've partaken of the communion, I think it's verse 30, they're on their way to Gethsemane. Jesus and 11 of his disciples. And they're singing a hymn on the way there. And then Jesus says to them, he says, the shepherd is going to be struck tonight and the sheep are going to be scattered. And he says, in other words, I'm going to die tonight. And he says, and you're going to run for your life. But he says, I'll meet you in Galilee when I've risen from the dead. And Peter right away says, though everybody, though those other 10 are going to be offended, though everybody else is offended, he says, I won't be offended. You know, the confidence of the flesh, right? We've got that confidence. And Jesus says to him, before the cock crows, you've denied me three times. Peter says, he says to him, he says, even if I got to go and die with you, I'm going to go die with you. And he said, I will not deny you. I won't lie about it. Right? He was lying. When he denied Jesus, he lied. Didn't he? And Jesus, and the Bible says, and so did the other 10 disciples say the same thing. We're going to come and die with you. Jesus takes his disciples into Gethsemane, and he leaves 8 of them here, and he says, you sit here and watch. In other words, you pray. You pray. And he's going to bring it out later. He says, you pray you fall not into temptation. He's going to bring that up. Takes Peter, James, and John a few steps further, has them sit there. And he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. It's heavy. There's a price I got to pay. I don't really want to die. Can I say that? Isn't that what he feels? Because he leaves them there and he says, pray with me, watch, pray. Pastor continues to tell us, pray, pray, pray. There's a reason to pray. And he takes a few steps forward, falls on his face and he says, oh, Father, let this cup pass from me. It's too heavy, but nevertheless, thy will be done. Right? Comes back to his disciples. They're not praying. They're all sleeping. He says, couldn't you at least watch with me a little bit? Couldn't you pray? He said, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Our spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. He says, you pray that you fall not into temptation. Like we pray every Sunday, lead us not into temptation. Word of God says, he goes back and he prays again. And he comes back a second time, wakes him up again. Pray that you fall not into temptation. Your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak. Comes back a third time. Sleep on. The time is at hand. And all this mob comes. You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting? I believe what happened, there was a big mob there, and they had swords and knives, didn't they? Isn't that what it says in there? And Peter, right, remember Jesus said, he said, just get one sword. He said, don't the rest of you arm yourself. Because if they would have fought a war. I believe that. Peter, right away, he jumps up, and he cuts off the ear of the high priest, his servant, Malchus, Luke 22. And Jesus says, you're in the wrong battle. He said, don't you realize that if we wanted a warfare, I've got 12 legion of angels that's ready to come and do battle. They can tear this place up. Over 144,000, if not more, all of heaven would have come. Isn't that true? And then he fixes the ear of Malchus. And he said, while I was with you, you didn't come out with knives and swords. He says, and you never arrested me. He says, I'm not a thief. And they took him. And when they took him, right away, these 11 disciples that said, I'll never run. I'll die with you. I'll never lie that I don't know you. Their flesh was weak, but their spirit is willing. Like us. There's times. You know what the word says? Peter followed. How close was he? He followed, the Bible says, afar off. How close you want to get to God? Or are you following afar off? When he followed afar off, did he say, I know Jesus when it came time? He denies him. He lies about it, right? The Spirit. Are we led by the Spirit? Do we walk in the Spirit? Are we following the things of God? Are we fighting the good fight of faith? You know, the Bible says, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, it's expedient, I go to the Father and send you the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into every area of truth, and he will abide in you. He'll lead you. Do we walk in it? You know, as I thought about it, we don't always walk in the Spirit. Remember Jacob? God changed his name to Israel, didn't he? Didn't God change Jacob's name into Israel? And when Jacob was in the flesh, he's always called Jacob. But when he's in the Spirit, he's called Israel. Right? Peter. Peter's always called Peter when he's in the Spirit. But when he's in the flesh, he's Simon Peter. Right? Isn't that us? Back and forth. And if we fall short, God doesn't say run away from it. If we fall short and we give into the flesh, he says if we confess our sin, God, I've done you wrong. I've done this. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Right? Don't make excuse. The flesh. And then there's the world. That's another enemy. Can I tell you, just because everybody's doing it does not make it right. Luke 17, Luke 21, 22, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, Mark 13, all end time prophecies. And I think it's Luke 17 says, as it was in the day of Lot and as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus comes back. Right? Genesis 18. Abraham, it's the hot part of the day, and he's sitting at the under a tree near his tent. And the Bible says, and God, and the Lord appeared unto him, and he had two other people with him, two other angels. Maybe it was the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, possible. But the Lord appears unto him, and right away, Abraham runs to him, falls before him, and says, let me refresh you. And they come and they sit there. He gives them water to wash their feet. It's in Genesis 18. And then he talks to his servant. He says, get a calf and get it dressed out. And he brings milk and butter. They must have had a fridge, right? Milk and butter. And then he says to his wife, bring some bread. And she gives him some bread. And they sit there and they're fellowshipping. Now, this is the flesh and the spirit also, and then it's the world also. Right away, God says, he says, where's your wife? He said, she's in the tent. And she's eavesdropping. You know how we like to nose around? Right? Isn't she eavesdropping? And God says to her, to Abraham, he says, I'm going to come visit you, and you're going to have a child. And he's in his 90s, and so is she. Sarah, right away, what does she do? She laughs in herself, not out loud. So nobody hears her, and she says, that's kind of stupid. She says, I'm an old lady. That's not possible for me. And God stopped, and he said, isn't all things possible with God? He said, did Sarah laugh? And Sarah right away says, no, I didn't. There's the flesh. Because she was afraid what God would think. That's the flesh and the spirit again. If I confess my sin and I say, yeah, God, I laughed, God forgive you. Right? And that offended God when she lied. God gets up and says, I'm leaving. Now, what's interesting, he says, the cry of Sodom has come up to me. The earth groaneth, doesn't it? The Bible says the cry has come up. He says, I'm going there to check it out. As it was in the day of Lot, God says to Abraham, he says, it's come up to me. And I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, chances are. And Abraham said, I'm just dust, God. He says, I'm nothing, but what if there's 50 righteous? What are you going to do? God said, if there's 50 righteous, I won't destroy it. He said, well, Abraham says, well, what if there's 45? He says, I won't destroy it for 45. Got them all the way down to 10. He said, what if there's 10 righteous? God said, I will not destroy it. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed it. Couldn't find 10 righteous people. Even Lot's wife. Bible says in Luke 17, I think, remember Lot's wife. Her heart was in Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it? She was able to come out but wanted to go back. She kept looking back, didn't she? Bible says, one of the shortest scriptures, remember Lot's wife. You say, well, that's not, what about the day of Noah? Noah preached for 100 years. Judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming. How many escaped the judgment? Noah and his family. Just because the world's doing it does not make it right. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Doesn't he? I think I've read that scripture. You say, well, that's not good enough. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The whole world was bowing down, weren't they? Nations from all kinds of people from different nations there that were bowing down before an idol. They refused to bow down. And if that's not good enough for you, what about Daniel? There's a decree that says don't pray. And what does he do? He's by himself praying and get cast into the lion's den. Just because the world's doing it. Don't you get caught up in that. That's another enemy that the devil uses, right? He goes after the flesh, he goes after the, and then he uses the world. And then there's the devil we battle against. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. John 8:44. God says to these religious leaders, you're of your father the devil. He says he's been a liar since the beginning of time. He says there's nothing in him. He causes people to go after lust. And he says he's a murderer and he's nothing but a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. He wants to take as many people to hell and the lake of fire as he can. He don't want you to go to heaven. He'll lie to you. He's a father of lies, the Bible says. He'll tell you, you're okay. Doesn't matter what he says. What matters is what God Almighty says. I'm not going to go much into that. But the Bible says you follow after righteousness. You follow after the things of God. In Luke 15, he gives three parables. God has cut my sermon different places. This is not what all I was going to preach. But he has three parables there. The first one is there's 100 sheep, and they're out in the wilderness. And he counts them. The shepherd counts them. Who's the shepherd? The Lord. He's my shepherd, isn't he? And he says, I shall not want. John 10:10. Jesus is a good shepherd, isn't he? And he leaves the 99 and goes for the one. Have you ever thought about that one? Jesus sits on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. That one's out there. You know what chances are? Got their feelings hurt. Maybe they were standing in a line ready to shake the preacher's hand. And the preacher didn't mean to ignore him, but he kind of ignored him and he didn't shake his hand. Well, I'm not going to church anymore. I got my feelings hurt. We get our feelings hurt over the dumbest things sometimes. Don't we? Did I ever tell you about that guy and his wife? They came in for counseling at one of the churches I pastored, and they're going to get a divorce. Married over 30 years. Did I tell you about that? Married over 30 years, getting a divorce. Anyways, come to find out, as they sat there, so what it boiled down to, you know what they got? They're getting a divorce. It was not his responsibility to buy a loaf of bread. His wife asked him about a month to 2 weeks ago to buy a loaf of bread, and he said, that's not my job, that's yours. And they argued over that. What about the dumb things you argue over? And it doesn't amount to anything. Man, I would have went and bought him a loaf of bread. You know what I'm saying? Feelings. You get your feelings in the way. We walk by faith, not by feelings. Right, Pastor? And you know, and then there's a second one. Lost coin. Maybe you're here this morning. and you feel like you've lost your joy, you lost your peace. Well, one of three things, or four things. If you think you lost your joy, your peace, or whatever, or you're losing out with God, Bible says ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it'll be open. Maybe you're not praying, or maybe you've done something you shouldn't have done. And maybe if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Or maybe you've left your first love, like he says in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. You left your first love. He says, repent and go back. Go back to that love. Right? If you feel like you've lost it, you won't lose with God. You put him first. And the last one was the prodigal son, right? And the prodigal son, he decided to go on his own. I don't need God's help. And then one day he came to realize, he came to himself. And the father's standing there, isn't he, with his arms open? God sees you, what you're going through. Can I tell you, each one of you, and perhaps you think I'm a broken record, each one of you this morning are important to God, doesn't matter who you are. It's God's desire that none should perish, isn't it? You think when people die and they end up in hell, you think God says, oh boy, there goes another one? I believe God weeps. It's God's desire none should perish. Right? You know what else he says? Lay hold on eternal life. Terry, come here. Lay hold on eternal life. Isn't that what he said in there?
Yep.
Lay hold on eternal life. Okay, you can go sit down. Don't you let go. Don't you let go. When you lay hold, you keep holding on no matter how difficult it gets. Lay hold on eternal life. I got my feelings hurt. Lay hold on eternal life. Love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. Lay hold. Okay, you can go. Lay hold on eternal life. April 18th, 1775, a lantern is hanging in an old church in the Bay of Massachusetts that people can see. There's a signal that's going out. And patriots are getting ready. Minutemen are getting ready that the British are coming. Paul Revere gets upon a horse to ride to Lexington to warn John Hancock and Samuel Adams that the British are coming. On the way there, he wakes up these different men that are getting prepared for battle. And they get up, they get their musket, and they get ready. The British are coming. 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 They got prepared. The British are coming. The British are coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. In an hour that ye thinketh not, so cometh the Son of Man. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't let go. And follow after righteousness. Fight the good fight of faith. Flee youthful lust. In Jesus' name I pray. The song we're going to sing is, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. What hymn number is that? 489. Let's everybody get a psalm book and turn to 489.
song.
This time we want to take up the offering. If those that are taken up would come at this time.
Thank you.
Praise God from all. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We thank you for the opportunity just to give back a portion unto you, Lord. Bless those that were able to give this morning, Lord, and those that aren't, Father, that were not able, Lord. Again, we pray for each one that's here, Lord, and I pray that your word not return void, Lord, those things that have been shared, Lord. Let it accomplish its ending, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Before we do the ending hymn, I want you to go with God. Seek His kingdom first, His righteousness. Follow after the things of God. Flee youthful lust. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. And don't you give up. Keep your eyes focused on Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. If you would like a CD of one of our services, please call the church office during the week at 616-452-9417. We would be happy to send you one free of charge. And until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.